Welcome to S&C Critical Insights. This is Melissa Sawyer. I co-head Sullivan & Cromwell's Corporate Governance and Activism Practice, and today I'm here with James Shea, who is a special counsel in our Capital Markets Group. James and I have been seeing a lot of buzz about sustainability reporting lately. We've seen institutional investors and governance organizations clamoring for companies to provide more transparency around sustainability reporting. ISS and other organizations have developed sustainability scorecards to rate companies on a variety of sustainability metrics. And in this environment, many companies are asking what they should do in response to this trend. James and I are going to talk today about some of the steps we've seen companies take in the past year or so, and we'll try to highlight the pros and cons of different approaches. So with that, to kick things off, James, maybe you can say a few words about what sustainability is. Are we just talking about the environment, or is there more to it than that?
Sustainability reporting and sustainability initiatives look at more than just the environment. Of course, environmental impacts, such as carbon dioxide emissions and handling of hazardous substances and policies around preventing environmental and waste pollution, are critical parts of it. But sustainability as a concept encompasses much more than that. Sustainability reporting includes information about labor practices, workplace safety, workplace culture, diversity, worker and community safety, and community impact.
James, a lot of the sustainability scorecards and the investor chatter on this topic place a heavy emphasis on enhanced disclosures. Do you have any thoughts on whether companies should accede to demands for more disclosure on sustainability topics? And if so, how should they go about it?
Well, Melissa, there's certainly a risk of antagonizing shareholders and therefore losing support for the board of directors if a company is not responsive to informational requests from shareholders. One thing we see many issuers struggling with, though, is that not all companies have the scale and resources to do a very robust sustainability reporting, especially smaller and mid-cap companies who don't have the personnel to do this reporting. You know, I was talking recently to the general counsel of a client as they struggle with this exact issue. She said to me, "I can either hire someone to do a report for a few $100,000, or we can give shareholders an extra penny per share on EPS." So certainly the economic costs and benefits need to be weighed by both issuers and by shareholders demanding these reports. That being said, we are seeing a great number of public companies who are preparing sustainability reporting because, as many of the large institutional investors have noted, promoting sustainable policies is in the best interest of the corporation and therefore in the best interest of their shareholders.
For public companies that are doing sustainability reports, is there any additional liability associated with disclosing that type of information?
There can be. Any public statements that get made to investors, even if they take place outside of a company's SEC filings, can be subject to liability for false or misleading statements. So it's important that companies that do sustainability reports subject them to the same disclosure controls and procedures as they do any other public statements. Are you keeping the right level of backup materials as you would for other public statements in your files? Because to the extent that sustainability issues are material to a company's business, false or misleading statements of a material nature can be grounds for security fraud liability. And there have been a number of shareholder lawsuits for false or misleading statements relating to sustainability topics in recent years. In addition, companies that are frequent capital markets issuers should consider including those reports on their websites rather than as part of their SEC filings, or at the very least, understand that those filings are incorporated by references to registration statements and therefore become subject to liability under the Securities Act. Melissa, every company is different, but are you seeing any common trends in the types of sustainability disclosures that companies are making?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of trends. Companies seem to be focusing on two buckets of disclosures lately. The first is enhanced disclosure about the oversight of sustainability at the board level and in senior management. And then I'd say the second bucket is enhanced disclosure about procedures the company has implemented to track and measure its success on sustainability initiatives. We're not seeing a lot of disclosure with strict quantitative targets, which I think makes sense. And the main thing is that most companies should look at this as an opportunity to highlight some of their achievements about how their sustainability efforts fit in with the bigger picture of their financial performance.
Actually, Melissa, your comment about sustainability oversight brings up another question that we get often from clients, which is whether or not they need to appoint a sustainability officer. What we've typically told them is that that's a decision to be made on a case-by-case basis, depending on your particular company.
I think the other question we sometimes get is where oversight of sustainability should sit at the board level. Again, it's case-by-case, depending on the size and complexity of the company's business and its industry. But what I see most often is that it is either addressed at the full board level or added to the responsibilities of the Nominating and Governance Committee, which is often renamed with the word sustainability in its title to reflect that focus. In that case, you would restate the committee charter with a greater focus on sustainability as well. For companies that have an existing risk or quality committee, you might also see this responsibility sit in that committee.
And of course, proxy statements need to describe the role of the board in risk oversight. So to the extent that sustainability is a material part of a company's business, issuers should be thinking about how they describe the board's role and what risks they seek to mitigate.
Lastly, James, our focus today has mostly been on U.S. companies with U.S. businesses, but do you think companies outside the U.S. face the same pressures regarding sustainability, and is there anything specific they should be thinking about?
Melissa, European companies have been creating sustainability reports for quite some time now. The European Union has long had a voluntary initiative to improve companies' environmental performance called the EU Eco-Management and Audit Scheme, in which companies sign up to have their environmental compliance regularly audited and certified, and in certain jurisdictions, disclosures are required. For instance, under the EU Non-Financial Reporting Directive of 2014, large public interest entities with more than 500 employees and a balance sheet of over 20 million euro must include a non-financial statement in their annual report or a separate non-financial report that includes information relating to environmental, social, and employee matters, human rights and corruption, bribery matters, a description of various policies and their outcomes, a discussion of the primary risks from those non-financial matters, and non-financial key performance indicators. And countries like the United Kingdom and the Netherlands have additional environmental disclosure requirements for companies of a certain size. Melissa, anything else you think companies should think about on this topic?
I would say that if you decide to make some disclosure enhancements around the sustainability topic, you should make sure that you take a multidisciplinary approach to crafting those disclosures. The effort should usually involve people from compliance, legal, and IR, as well as the operating units that are responsible for implementing and measuring sustainability metrics. The nice thing about getting IR involved early is that you can then make sure that your messaging is consistent across all your platforms, whether it's media relations and social media, as well as interactions with the analyst community and the investor community through one-on-one meetings with investors, or even how you write your earnings releases. James, any final thoughts from you?
I think to the extent that issuers do conduct in sustainability reports, it's important to make sure that those sustainability professionals that you just referenced are part of the disclosure controls and procedures, not just for the publication of the sustainability reports, but also for any incidents that may come up as a company is operating sustainability programs. So definitely a hot topic. Thank you for listening. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.sulcrom.com. where you can find our recent client memo, Preparing for the 2019 Proxy Season, Practical Guidance for Directors and Board Committees.